It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages, with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. Michelle Lobato isn't here today. Well, she's kind of here, but it is really exciting because I get my old co-host back that we did this show for so many years. She needs no introduction, even though I'd love to do it. Carrie Kasem is back on Gervie's Law.
Yay! I'm so happy to be back. I missed you. We did the show for 7 years?
At least.
Crazy, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you look amazing, by the way. You're not here with me. I wish you were. But you really look amazing, and I really miss doing the show with you. We've had so many great shows, so much fun. And I want to get right to it because we only have a half an hour, and Carrie and I could probably talk forever. Okay. But we need to bring in one of your favorite people, Carrie, Corey Feldman. Welcome back to Gervie's Law, Corey Feldman.
Yay! I know I was going to do that too.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Carrie. How are you? Thanks for doing
Corey.
This.
Hi. Of course. I mean, we just saw each other a week ago.
Right.
And,
and we were doing karaoke.
That's right.
Yes. Was it karaoke or karaoke?
No, so on my box set, Love Left 2.1, it's a 6-disc set, and one of the discs is called Karaoke. And what it is it's an instrumental disc, some of my greatest songs, but instrumental versions with, like, you know, just the TV track, which means there's background vocals so you can sing along. And then there's another disc where we actually have word videos. So you can put in the word videos disc, and you can read along, and you can sing along, so you can do karaoke. But then I was invited last week to Carrie's little karaoke party. And of course, hers is called Karaoke.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. You know that I was on one of his first albums, All
you
the
were?
Back.
That's true. This is true. That's right. Actually, it wasn't one of my first albums. It ended up, because this is how things happen, but it ended up on my most successful album ever, Carrie, which is Angelic to the Core.
Good.
The song was Angelic to the Core album, and it was the song about having peace in the world. It's called Take a Stand, and you were on that song, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, is that right?
I think it was a couple songs, actually. It was like, oh.
Oh, no. I'm wrong. Hold on. You weren't on Take a Stand. That was Susie. Never mind.
Carrie.
You were on Soul Search.
Susie's his ex-wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she did. Okay,
and he has a girlfriend now that can sing her butt off.
Yeah, that's
great.
True. But Susie wasn't a singer. Susie wasn't a singer. She was just doing it for fun and filling in. But that said, she jumped in there on one song. But Carrie, that's right. I forgot. You were part of Truth Movement for a little while.
Yes, I know.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So Carrie has a lovely voice. Carrie has a beautiful voice.
She has an amazing voice.
Yeah. And she came and she did a few live shows with us, actually.
And
she was on Soul Search Part 1. Soul Search Part 1, which is this big, long, elongated, it's kind of like a Pink Floyd vibe. It's a big, long kind of suite, I guess you would call it in music.
Wow.
It's a big suite, so it goes on for like 11 minutes, has all these different integral parts, and Carrie sings some beautiful background vocals, which are actually featured vocals. And they're very nice.
And Corey, let me tell you something. Carrie can also dance. I want to bring up dancing.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
She's a triple threat, and we've now learned that you're also a triple threat.
Well, he is.
You know, I've been dancing since I was a child.
Yeah.
And by the way, professionally dancing with some of the greatest choreographers in the world since I was a child. So even though I'm on or was on a show this season.
What was it called?
Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, with the Stars? You're on
that. So jealous.
Anyway,
Carrie says she's jealous.
Don't be.
Don't be.
But the point is, I was literally on it for a hot minute. But
two shows.
Yeah, exactly. But that said, I will be on again this coming week. As you know, they bring everybody back for the finale. We get to dance one more time. Isn't that wonderful?
Are you excited about that?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Why?
How was Jenna Johnson?
Jenna was wonderful. I'm not going to get into it. There was a lot of stupidity in the mudslinging that went on, like, behind the scenes. Like, actually there, everything was great.
Yeah.
But the behind the scenes drama and BS that like people throw around that show, I've never seen anything like it. Like I literally, it's the worst, like most toxic.
It's reality.
It's like
Corey without reality shows.
Right, but I'm saying it's not on, like it's nobody there on the set. Like they're on the set, everybody gets along, everybody's great, everybody's happy. Like you're just there working, you're working hard. You don't even have time to look up. You're just working.
Yeah.
But then it's like you start reading these things in the paper, like, oh yeah, this person's mad at this person. These people aren't talking to each other.
Or people weren't working hard enough.
Corey Feldman destroyed the show. He destroyed the whole show because he was such an egomaniac and so difficult to work with. And you're like, where is this coming from? And I asked Jen, I'm like, where's this coming from? She's like, oh, it's just Max. She rolls her eyes. She's like, it's just Max. Don't pay attention to him. He just wants attention.
Oh, my God.
That's like, not okay. That's just not okay. I know that happened to me. That happened to me on a reality show very, very long time ago. They actually edited things I said to somebody else and made it look like I
It's called Frankenbiting. Frankenbiting. Yeah. That's what
I got. I got an apology letter from the editor.
Well, good for you, because guess what? It happened to me during the entirety of Surreal Life, and they basically made me look like the world's biggest egomaniac, and they never apologized. I was like crying hysterically.
But Corey, you after Dancing with the Stars, you took to social media and you were very professional. You wanted to set the record straight. It wasn't like you were throwing some trash.
No. The last thing I want is drama. Are you kidding me? I hate that stuff.
You have a little drama.
What? What drama?
Can we talk about Netflix, Charlie Sheen?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. What do you want me to say? There's nothing to say. I mean, other than that, like, we said what we had to say. It's, to me, very disgusting that Netflix is supporting the lie. They just unplugged. Where do we plug
in? All right, he's plugging himself in, Carrie. He got unplugged.
Okay, so I can't hear anything you're saying. Right. Wasn't that good timing?
It was perfect. I think I saw him.
That was God saving me from the hot seat right
Corey,
there.
Corey, you pulled the plug out.
No,
I saw
God pulled the plug out. He said, that's enough.
Carrie, what did he say?
Oh, I was just saying, Netflix has a history of, like, doing things that, to me, are very unethical. And a lot of shows, like, where they did this show with kids that were dancing that were trying to be sexy, but they're like six, seven, eight.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was
disgusting.
Awful. Right.
It was disgusting. And then
wasn't there also, they featured that movie about like the little boy that was like in love with his like adult guardian or something? I don't know, some weird.
It's just they've done a lot of things that seem not okay to me.
I don't think they care. I think they're just looking for the ratings.
Right.
Yeah, well, you're probably right.
I'll let you guys pontificate. I don't want to pontificate. All I can say is that there's been as many people know, an ongoing attack on my person, on my character, on everything, trying to say that I lied. So all I want to say is, why would I lie?
I was going to ask you that. Why would you lie?
First of all, why stick to this one story my whole life?
Right.
All I've ever said is that there was one person that I could reveal that was a very big name in Hollywood, right? And I said that for many years. But I never said the name. They tried to say it like, oh, he's been saying this for years. I never said it. I never said it. I had to wait until I had the legal ability. As you know, you're a lawyer. I had to wait until I had the legal grounds to be able to, with all the corroboration and all the evidence that was in a documentary, and we laid it out very properly in that movie, and we put it all out there. And anybody who saw that knows we did a great job. Unfortunately, a lot of people didn't get to see it because it was stolen from me, and there was a massive attack on everything. But I don't really want to go too deep into it because, unfortunately, it hasn't stopped. The harassment hasn't stopped. But
don't you think it vindicates you a little bit when Charlie Sheen talks about it in this Netflix, a.k.a. Charlie, when he brings it up and it's so important to him? If it wasn't true what you said, why would he be so defensive?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I can't tell you because I can't give you the other side. You know, I can't give you the
rebuttal.
Or the benefit of the doubt kind of argument, because there is no benefit of the doubt because I know what I know. And, you know, it's something that I was told since I was 11 years old or not 11 years. I'm sorry, 14 years old, 14
right.
years old, you know, at the time when I met the other guy, you know, and I don't want to even say his name, but I just want to say that, like, obviously he told me at 14 years old. And so from that
regardless
point on,
of what his mother might have said afterward.
Well, his mother changed the story for convenience or for whatever reason. I can't
maybe
tell you.
Money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
You
I'm
guys
just
are
saying.
Pontificating. All I can tell you is that, you know, the story has been twisted around to try to put the blame on me as a 14-year-old boy who was being molested, who was being taken advantage of, who was surrounded by pedophiles. And I literally have this photo, it's in my book, of me and Mr. Haim surrounded by six guys. And all six of those guys are pedophiles in that picture. Like, literally, everybody. So, like, we were in a nest of pedophiles. And that was what was surrounding us. I was 14. He was 14. So how can anybody with the right mind try and say that a 14-year-old is responsible because he introduced him to another guy that was a pedophile? No, I was in a nest of pedophiles. And the guy that, you know, that Judy wants to say was the one that actually did it, which, yes, he was inappropriate for sure with Corey, but that was Corey's friend. That's the point. Yeah. Like, we met him. He was a friend of Alfie's. That's how we met him. It was all connected. But this guy was in our life for like 10 years. It wasn't like he just came in, I introduced them, you know, the guy took advantage of Corey and that was the end of it. No, this guy was our friend for 10 years. He was part of the story. He was part of our lives. And I think Carrie can attest to that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely can. It's so interesting because the first time I met you, Corey, way before we dated, was at Alfie's Soda Pop Club.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did. You forgot. Because you and
Carrie, how old were you then?
12, 13.
That okay. Young?
Maybe, oh, yeah.
Well, the kids were. We were all 12 and 13 going to Alfie's Soda Pop Club. Now, Alfie's Soda Pop Club, for the record, so we're putting it out on your show,
right,
was run by a guy who was supposedly the son of the head of casting for Paramount Television. And that head of casting was named Bobby Hoffman. But it wasn't his son. It was his gay lover, which is fine if you want to be gay lovers, but then don't open your house to a bunch of kids and throw parties for them where you're providing alcohol.
You think things were different back then than what could have occurred now?
I don't want to pontificate because I'm not around the kids in the business these days. I can't tell you what's going on out
there. Well, I think things are a little bit different. I mean, I don't think you had the protections that maybe now they do.
That's true. There are things that, you know, thank God my buddy Sean Astin is now the head of SAG. He's now the president of SAG. I'm hoping that he can help put through some of these guidelines and rules that can help protect children for the future. So, yes, I'm hopeful that things will start to change in that regard.
Carrie, what were things like back then when you met Corey?
Well, I mean, he was like the big superstar, right? When he walked in with Corey Haim, it was one of the parties, and they had taken two young girls that had cancer. So they were,
Yep.
Yeah, for two girls that had cancer, and I thought
it was a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing, and we'd you know, supplied their wish or whatever, which was to be their dates to a party.
Oh, really?
So we took them to what we thought was a safe teen party at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And it was at that point safe for that, and then it was, I think, the after parties. One, I went to a couple of them, and there was alcohol, and it was not good for kids, but I know the ones that I went to, my dad dropped me off and I got to stay 2 hours and he picked me up, you know, but
thank God. Thank God you had a good dad.
Oh, great dad. He was really worried.
Yeah. Well, he should have been. He had every right to be worried.
Yeah. And, but afterward when my mom did, I got to go, you know, to the after parties. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm spending the night at this person's house. And I got to see what went on and I got to see who was there. And
what went on? Tell us what went on.
It was just gross. Like when I was young, I didn't see that. Like it was fun. It was cool. I got to be with the cool kids. But when you grow up and you go, wow, it's like, why are there 12-year-olds hanging out with all these older guys? And Alfie was always surrounded by young kids, boys for the most part. Mm-hmm. And,
Never girls. He was never surrounded by
girls. It was always boys. And they were mean to me. I remember them. This guy was Bobby
Jacoby.
Yes, Bobby Jacoby. He's cool now. We're good.
Yep.
But Bobby Jacoby goes, ask whoever it was how fast his grandma. I'm 12 years old and I can't believe I'm remembering this. He goes, ask this person how fast his grandma can run. You won't believe it. So I turn and I go, how fast can your grandma run? And he looks at me, goes, that's not funny. My grandma doesn't have legs. And he did that to me in front of all these people. And It was a joke. But he did it to, I felt so bad and I was so embarrassed.
Sorry. That's terrible.
No, it was so awful.
Did you feel weird as well? Because Carrie's talking about, like, it was yesterday remembering this.
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't
forget
these things.
I mean, it was crazy, but there are, I have to say something because, you know, I did the documentary that Corey put out.
Why don't more people stand up? That's what I want to know. Why don't more kids come forward? You know how many kids were molested in this business. You know how many kids that were of our age that saw this going on, that it happened to. And yet they just, when I came out with all that information, they just literally let me flail in the wind. They literally let me just,
well, because,
you know,
a lot of
drown.
These people, Corey, have, they've done things that are bad and it's on, you know, maybe it's on tape. Maybe they're afraid of the backlash. Maybe they've done things that they're being blackmailed for. You never know in this business. But I do know that there are certain things that
I have nothing to hide. That's why I always speak.
That's right.
Frequently.
But let me say something, because I know that Corey Haim's mom, Judy, was talking about a guy that Corey and you and I have hung out with. And I won't say the name, but there was a guy.
You can
that
say his name. He's dead anyway. It doesn't matter. He's dead. He can't sue you.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're on a legal show, so you're protected.
Okay, so Dominic Brasha, that we all lived together. We lived together for a year. Mm-hmm. And Corey and Dominic were friends. Corey Haim.
Yeah, be very clear. You have to be very clear when you speak.
Myself, all of us hung out. I lived with Dominic Brasha. Corey and him were on the phone all the time.
Corey who? Corey Haim. You have to say that, Carrie.
Right. Okay. So listen, Carrie, we were living with him. You're not on the phone with somebody you're living with. Corey Haim and Dominic Brasha were on the phone all the time.
What were they talking about?
They were friends. They would hang out. They would do things. Whatever it was.
Did you see them hanging out? Did you see them being buddies?
Yes. They went out together. I think we all hung out one time.
And what year was that, Carrie?
1996 and
1997. Okay. So you're talking 10 years after the supposed events that Judy is trying to blame me for, because obviously we were 14 years old when Dominic and Corey first met, when I went to Alfie's parties, when I was only 13 or 14 at Alfie's parties. Obviously, we were kids when we first met Dominic. Dominic was introduced to Corey through Alfie. I was introduced to Dominic through Alfie, right? Alfie introduced us to these guys, right? So Corey and I met him at that age. So why would Corey and Dominic have been friends in 1996 if all this was true, that, you know, it was a one-time event, he was taken advantage of by him when he was, you know, 14 years old and he was 86 and Judy beat him off with a pool stick or whatever the story is? It's all BS. It's all BS.
But people have to understand what they're saying. It's like that it was Dominic that it wasn't Charlie. It was Dominic that did this. Dominic's the bad guy. He was the one. I'm like, well, if Dominic was a bad guy and he's the one who is the perpetrator, why is Corey Haim hanging out with him, calling him all the time? Why are we hanging out and he's laughing and we're having fun? Like,
let me explain it to you this way. Dominic was a bad guy. Okay. He was unfortunately not mentally capable. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think he was maybe mentally challenged. I think that maybe he didn't have all his faculties. And I think that as a gay man who was fat, who was overweight, and he had the attention of this younger, good-looking guy, he thought, this is a relationship. And I think that's the way he saw it, which is why I couldn't hate him, because I don't think that he thought he was taking advantage of this kid. I think he thought it was a mutual relationship. And I think that Corey allowed him to some degree to think that. Now, I think that, you know, obviously Corey was not gay. Corey didn't want to be gay, but he was sexually confused because of the things that had happened to him as a child.
So in your mind, it was abuse.
It was consensual, but he was 14, so it can't be consensual. Right. So therefore it is abuse.
And what about you? Were you enjoying it? Were you scared? Were you were you ignorant?
No. So what happened was, I knew that Corey and Dominic had their in flagra, whatever you want to call it, right? I knew about it. I wasn't there. I didn't witness it. I just heard from both sides that things had happened.
Okay. So when someone says that you weren't there, you didn't witness it, that's why we shouldn't believe you when we start talking about what Charlie's saying, How do you respond to that?
No. Charlie, okay, well, first of all, I don't want to really directly respond to what Charlie's saying other than to say Corey told me what he told me the first day we hung out when we were 14 years old.
Right.
The very first day, he was so traumatized by what had happened to him a year and a half earlier, a year earlier, whatever it was, that he had to tell me the first day, this is what I've been through.
Right.
And not only did he want to tell me about it, but he was trying to convince me that it was okay, by the way. That's what the conversation started with, was, hey, we can mess around, it's okay.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, we can't. So I feel bad. I shouldn't even be going down this road. I feel like we're going too far. This is probably more than I should talk about, so I think I'll just leave it there.
Well, you can, but, you know, I want to make sure.
You talk about this in the documentary. Sorry,
that's right. And you're here on Gervie's Law. You know, I want to make sure you have an opportunity to say your piece, because a lot of times, you know, people aren't going to listen to you.
I hear you. I just, every time I talk about it, I've been put through so much hell because of this. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to move on. But at the same time, when you've got this guy going out there throwing shade at me, trying to act like I'm the one, you know, doing anything. I'm not doing anything. You know, I promised Corey I would tell a story. I told that story. That story was 5 years ago. I want to be left alone at this point.
Yeah.
I said what I had to say. Obviously, no investigations happened. Nobody cared. If nobody cares, then please just leave me alone about it. Like, just leave me alone. Like,
and that's, you've all been, I so asked. Consistent.
Like, I did what I promised I would do. I promised my best,
right,
friend. He asked me on, you know, literally 1 year before he died, he said, I'm probably not going to be alive much longer. If something happens to me, please promise me that you will tell my story. I said, you go tell it yourself. You're here right now. He said, I can't. I said, why? He said, because he'll kill me. I said, well, then write a book, start writing, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, I can't do it. I need you to do it for me. That's all I can tell you is I need you to. And I said, I can't do that. That's not my place. And he said, but if I'm gone, it has to be. I said, okay, if you're really gone in a year, then I'll find a way to do it. But you're not going to be gone in a year. You'll be here. And then he died in 1 year. And that really happened.
Yeah. And you've been consistent through it all. There's nothing that has been able to refute or rebut or change the story at all.
Right. Well, the other thing is that people came after me and said, why is Corey lying? Why is Corey making this up? Okay, if you watch the documentary, and unfortunately, again, not as many people got to see it as we would have liked, because it was stolen from me and we had to shut it down after they stole it because they were basically profiting off of my pain and my misery. But I put it out there. I said it one time, and all I really wanted to say was what I was promising that I would say, which was the story. And we put – it wasn't just me. That was what my point was, that it wasn't just me. There was 7 people or 8 people or 9 people that all brought their own personal experience, their own personal firsthand conversations that they had with Mr. Haim, where he told them,
right,
the same thing that he told me.
Corroborated.
Corroborating it, right.
Carrie, we only have a couple minutes. What do you want to say to Corey?
Oh, no, Corey knows how I feel. I believe him. I mean, I'll tell you something. Something happened during when we were dating, and this was like 30-something years ago. And I once said, wow, you kind of look like Charlie Sheen. I said that to him. Charlie Sheen was a good-looking guy back then. You look good, you know? And I said, you look like him. And he went ballistic. Corey, do you remember this? You went ballistic on me. You were, don't ever call
it's
me
that. It's not the only time it's happened, Carrie. I hate to say
he's
it.
He's gone ballistic. If you,
no, and no, you not that. Seen. Not that I've gone ballistic. I mean, it's not the first time people have said that. People say
were,
that
yeah.
to me. I don't know why.
Corey, I thought you were talking
I personally don't see it, but people say it.
And that didn't happen on Howard Stern?
Oh, yeah, on Howard Stern. Talk about the Howard Stern thing.
That's okay. Funny. No, I was going to tell you because, okay, so she brought up Howard Stern. I want to say this story really quick because it's really funny. So, Drea De Mateo. Okay. So I was at Shooter Jennings' Halloween party over the weekend. This is a funny story. And Drea came up to me and she said, hey, it was at her house, by the way, because they used to date. And she's like, I don't know if you'll remember this, but the very first night I got into L.A., I met you at a club and I was there. I was like 17. You were like 18 or something like that. I met you at a club. I was really drunk. You offered me and my girlfriends a place to go after the club. and said, you know, if you're drunk and you need a place to calm down so you don't have to drive, you can stay with me and I'll take care of you until you're sober and whatever. And she, it was her and her girlfriend. And she said, we just got to LA. We didn't know who we could trust. We figured you were probably going to try and take advantage of us, but we went anyway. And and we get there and like, you're like, okay, let's go up to the bedroom. And I'm like, oh boy, here it comes. This is going to be it. And she said, and when we got up to the bedroom, you stuck a phone in my face and we're like, hey, I'm on the phone with Howard Stern. Come talk to Howard Stern. And Howard was like, so Corey, what are you doing there? You got two girls. Ooh, it must be so hot. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I do have two girls here, but no, it's just us hanging out. We're just hanging out. It's just two girls, you know, we're just hanging out. And he's like, what are you doing? Is it like sexy? Are you guys getting something? I'm like, no, we're just hanging out. Like, they're just two nice girls. I'm trying to help them out, whatever, right? And he didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And she said, you know, the next day when we were leaving, I turned to my girlfriend and I was like, I can't believe it. Like, he was such a gentleman. Because she said, and let me tell you, it's like ever since that was my first day in LA. She said, ever since, it's probably never happened again.
Right.
Because
right.
There's never been another guy that's been like that. But I will tell you that when we went to your house, we were 100% safe. And the next morning we left and nothing happened. And you were a gentleman. And I was like, awesome. And she's like, but see, I just wanted to share that story with you. And I was like, I actually remember it because I remember coming home from a club and putting Howard on the phone with two girls to prove to him that just because I had two girls there didn't mean it was something sexual.
That's why you are Carrie's favorite. You know, she moved out of LA, although she comes back often. But I'll tell you, she has so much respect for you because there are a lot of creeps here. Right, Carrie?
Yeah. No, Corey's awesome. We've been friends for a very, very long time. I know who he is. He's not a liar. And and I respect him for putting his entire reputation on the line.
Carrie, it's so great to be with you again, or at least on Zoom here. Corey, yes. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you,
in.
Alan. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. What fun. Have a great week. Thanks, guys.
God bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.